Claudine Hemingway is a descendant of famed writer Ernest Hemingway. We bumped into each other at a party and decided to team up and dive deep into French history, but with a twist, by bringing a spotlight to those lesser-known creatives in France. This is History with a Hemingway.
Welcome back, guys, to Paris History avec a Hemingway. I'm back with Claudine, and today we're talking about the five-year anniversary of the fire at Notre Dame. Today is the five-year anniversary, and Claudine's going to give us some more interesting facts about Notre Dame.
Yeah, today, I mean, we are very busy ladies. And so we are recording this on Monday evening in Paris.
Busy. And
exactly 5 years ago today, at this moment that we are recording this, it was burning. So it's a day, I think, for our generation, we will probably never forget. I mean, it's right up there for our generation. It's like, you know, 9/11. But I think Notre Dame is definitely, and, you know, we'd love to hear from you guys of what you remember that day, except for the shock and the horror of it. But I wanted to give a little update on where we are in the Renaissance, as they are calling it, but then also just what happened that day, because it was on April 15th and it was also a Monday. So this year it's a Monday too. 5 years ago, it was the first day of Holy Week. So Easter was going to be that following Sunday. And so it was at exactly 6:18 PM that the alarm went off. And the gentleman that was working in, to watch the alarm system, and it was actually a pretty, advanced alarm system that they had. He'd only been working there for like 2 or 3 days. And it was like this whole, just this wall of like buttons and things that lit up, and this alarm went off. And as you know, I mean, I've been in the Louvre, I've been in places an alarm goes off, or when I was in my old job, the alarm got off, and literally it went off so much that we just sat there and didn't move. Like, we were like, yeah, whatever. And so the alarm goes off and he isn't sure where it is going. You know, he doesn't know because it has some number or something, calls somebody on the radio. They go up to the roof of the sacristy, which is a little building. If you're on the left bank looking at Notre Dame, it's a little building off to the side. And that's where they actually keep the treasury, the treasures of Notre Dame. And the guy went up in that roof and he's looking around in there, and he comes back, called radios in. Yeah, there's no smoke here. I don't see anything. Meanwhile, the smoke is going in the roof of Notre Dame. And by the time they figured it out, it was 6:30 PM. And that's when the fire was first spotted. And they were like, no, it's up here. In the roof of Notre Dame. So that's when the alarms went off at 7 p.m. It was a half an hour later. That's when 150 to 200 firefighters arrived in 40 vehicles. And I will never forget that morning. And I had sent a message to Mon Pompier here in Paris. And I said, what's going on at Notre Dame? I go, there's a fire. And he responds back to me like 5 minutes later and says, oh, I don't know. He's like, sometimes, he goes, probably a drill. We do drills all the time. And I go, I don't think it's going to be on international news.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, oh, and he wasn't working that day. And he was, his firehouse was just in Saint-Denis. So it was just north of Paris. And so he's like, okay, let me see what's going on. And it was amazing because I had my own personal pompier, and I'm messaging. I'm like, where are they? Like, where are the fire trucks? Because at this point, it's all over live television. I'm like, where are the fire trucks? Where are they? And he's like, it's very difficult to get there because it was 7 o'clock. It was rush hour. And the thing is that, you know, it is really great and lovely that we have all these streets that are closed off to cars and it's for just pedestrians and bikes, which I never thought of this at the time until this time. And he says to me, he's like, yeah, but there's not very many roads that we could get to. And so you live here, we live here, we know if there's times that you're sitting in a taxi and the light changes 3 or 4 times before the taxi ever moves. So if you have a fire truck behind, and you're in, you know, there's no lanes here either. They make 6 lanes out of this small point. And the fire trucks were just sitting there. There was no way for them to get to Notre Dame. So that's why it took a half an hour. And I remember him telling me, like, no, they're going to bring it in on the boats first. So the first thing that happened was the boats came in and they fired up the water. up to the building because they could get there faster. And because it's on, it just was too difficult. So that is why it took a little bit. But at 7:10 p.m., the Captain Marc Poré-Blanc, he also brought in the Louvre Fire Department and the Ministry of Culture because of all of the priceless relics and paintings and the Crown of Thorns. Everything was in, that was in there. At 7:50 p.m., the spire is when the spire fell. So it took an hour and 20 minutes of the fire for the spire to fall. And that was a moment we will never forget. And then it was 9:30 p.m. when they said, and this is all French time. It was 9:30 p.m. when they said, it's critical. We have 30 minutes to contain the fire or we lose it all because the fire had gone from the roof and started to come towards the towers. And the towers are where the bells are. The North Tower has the 8 bells, which we did that episode a few weeks ago or last month. And the South Tower has the 2 main bells, Emmanuel and Marie. And those are the just major heavy bells. But the fire started getting into the north and the belfry that holds up the bells is all wood. And it's all wood from like the 17th century. So it's very dry. And so the fire started to get in there. And if it had burned that belfry and those incredibly heavy bells had come down that weigh tons and tons, the whole facade would have been lost.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so crazy that everything, the way it went down. And I know we've talked about this before, but I was up in Montmartre and I remember looking out and seeing the smoke and just being like, where's that smoke coming from? I mean, no one imagined Notre Dame. Like, it's so wild. And everything, the way it went down, like rush hour, the alarm, like we're so lucky to have anything left.
We are. I mean, it was amazing. And I was on the West Coast, so I'm 9 hours behind. And so it's an early in the morning and then I'm just glued to it all day. I remember I was in my office at my job and I was the only person there because I don't always get to work like 4 hours before anybody did. And I was watching it and then I was like, I have to leave. I cannot be here because I'm not going to be able to deal with people when they get here. And because it was just, I didn't even cry about it until much later in the day. And then that's when it was just like, I think there was actually a little adrenaline watching it. And I started having everybody in the world texting me and calling me like, what's going on? We know if anybody knows it's you because it's Notre Dame. And I remember just watching it all day, just staring at my iPad and trying to get, like, I was watching every French feed I possibly could about it. And it was 3:30 a.m. when they finally were like, it's contained, it's under control, we've stopped it. And that was, it could have been so much worse than, you know, nothing was destroyed inside. You know, the transept broke through, but that's because the fire fell and basically was like a arrow going through, which the spire, here they call it flesh, which means arrow. But other than that, like she was in pretty good shape.
Yeah. I mean, she really survived well and soon her doors will be open again.
Yeah. I mean, less than eight months. And we'll be back inside. I was there today. I did a live video on YouTube there with an update on a lot of the stuff we're going to share today. And I'll put a link on my website so you can watch it. But I was there today. I had a tour. I took 2 ladies over there. I was telling them all about it. And somebody from Spanish TV interviewed me. And it was so funny because they were like, so why are you here? And I'm like, well, it's the anniversary of Notre Dame. And they were like, but it's closed. And I'm like, but there's still a lot to see on the outside. It was so funny. They're like, so it's going to open, you know, later this year. I was like, December 8th. So I'm the one telling this like reporter of like, clearly you don't know what you're talking about.
I love it.
But it was funny that he was like, but why are you here? You can't even go inside. And it's like, there's so much more to the church than just inside. In fact, the most iconic part of it is outside.
Yeah, the part we always talk about, that front part with the statues and the doors. I mean, so
yeah. Cool. And it's you know, yesterday when I went over there Saturday morning and it was a sunny, beautiful morning. And I went over really early. It was like 7:45 in the morning. And I walked over there and it was so quiet because it's a Paris weekend morning, which is the greatest. And I could hear them literally like pounding and like hammering. And it made me so happy to look up and see at here at the 5-year anniversary, I never would have thought that on the 5-year anniversary, we could look up there and see that the roof is in place. The spire is back there and it looks exactly like it did before. And it just, I mean, I almost started crying when I saw it because it was just amazing to be. I never would have thought 5 years ago today that this is what we would see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited to see the inside again and to be able to go on the roof again. That view up there is amazing. I wonder how all that's going to work.
Yeah, I doubt they're going to let people back into the tower quite yet in December. So there's a lot of things going on with the project and where they are right now. The spire is the spire itself. The structure of the spire is done. It is up there. They still need to finish covering the lower part, which the spire at the very top, that's completely covered in lead. We also have the rooster that came back, you know, in December. And then they will do the bottom part, which is called the open work. And that is where it has like 8 different, what looks like windows. And that you just see the raw wood right now. And so they are going to cover all of that in the lead. And then I saw an aerial picture of it today that it's still, they still are putting up all the stuff on the actual roof. So the roof rafters are in place. Then they are putting in, they've put in all the wood on top of that. And then they add what they call English paper. And the English paper goes in and then the sheets of lead go on top of that. And lead is something that before the fire, they had basically outlawed the use of lead in stained glass and construction and everything. Because, you know, as we know, lead's not great. You know, people get sick, like Vincenzo Perugia, our friend that stole the Mona Lisa. He had lead poisoning once. And so, but because it was voted that they have to return Notre Dame to exactly how she was, they got an exemption from that. So lead is incredibly malleable. It is very strong, but it is also very sharp, and it also could be punctured. So they had to be very careful because if you do something wrong, basically you have to throw that whole piece out. And so it is a really easy thing for them to use, but they also have to be very careful. They put the English paper down first, and then they put these sheets of lead, and then they basically attach it with leather straps. So there's leather at the on the top and the bottom of each of these pieces of lead that they then attach to the wood of the roof, and it makes it completely waterproof.
Holy cow. I'm not super happy about lead being put back up there.
Well, it's fine unless, God forbid, there's another fire and it melts again. That's all. It's lead is fine in that sort of a situation. And I think lead as the actual metal is better than if it was lead in paint. I think the lead in the paint actually can come off, like the fumes, or I don't know. I'm not, obviously, we've talked about this many times. We're not doctors or scientists. But I think in the form, as I'm recording this, I'm staring at the window, out my window of the of across the street, the building, and I'm looking at all the lead. So I think in that form, it's probably okay. But if there was another fire and it melted, that's what was a big, huge health concern when the fire for like years.
Yeah, definitely. No more fires, guys.
No more fires. But they actually are all, they're adding in like incredible sprinkler systems, fire detection, like state of the art. Like, I think if somebody's walking 4 blocks away with a cigarette, it might set off the alarm.
Yeah, there definitely won't be any more fires, and they'll definitely take the alarm very seriously.
Yeah, I think for sure. But it's, you know, some of the stuff that they're doing, which I think last year we kind of talked about where they were. But one thing I just recently learned while doing some research, I'm constantly doing research on Notre Dame, that, you know, they had 50 specific axes made for this because they had to do everything, like I said, in the original form that they did it in the Middle Ages and the 19th century with Villers-le-Duc. So they made these axes four different foundries created them, and they did them for all of the, you know, the lumbermen that were doing all the shaping of the wood, because they have to do it by hand. And they did it for the specifics of these from the same kind of tools used in the Middle Ages. So if something happens and say they 800 years from now, they take down and they're redoing the beams in the roof of Notre Dame, they will look at those. And if they looked at it, they would be like, no, these were done in the Middle Ages, because they will even make the same marks on it as they did in these new axes as they did in the Middle Ages.
Wow, that's wild.
Isn't that amazing? And I have seen one of these, and I think I saw it at the architecture museum, and they actually put a stamp of Notre Dame, like an actual little drawing of it. And it says like, no, you know, the Renaissance of Notre Dame stamped in it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want one.
Need this.
I need it. But, you know, one of the things is when they did harvest all that wood, which last year we talked about how like 50% of it came from donations from private land that people had. And so that's over 1,000 trees came from private individuals. That they had 48 different sawmills around France that volunteered to do all of the work to, you know, take off the bark and actually make the initial shape of the wood that it needed to be, because they had to do it very quickly because you want to do it with the green wood. So basically, you know, they just chopped it down because it's softer, because they quickly need to shape it at that point, and then they let it dry. And so like the steps that they had to do, whether you're talking about, you know, ornamental iron workers or the stained glass specialists or the roofers, or just it's just absolutely mind boggling that how they had to do this and organize it and get all the moving parts going. It's pretty incredible.
Well, hopefully everyone can come see it in December or next year. And I can't believe it's already been 5 years. Definitely write to us. We love hearing from you guys. And definitely check out ClaudineHemingway.com. Book a tour. Check out Claudine. Support her work. And make sure you tune in next week.
Thanks for listening today, guys. If you're interested in learning more about Claudine, her tours, history, and the beautiful photographs that she posts all over Instagram, tune into her website, ClaudineHemingway.com.